Not going to be long here. I told Mrs. Dawson I was going to be done at 7:10, so I've got to be a man of my word. So we only got 20 minutes. So if y'all listen up fast, I'll speak fast, and we'll get done fast. How about that? Got a plan? Amen. All right, let's stand and turn to Acts chapter 18. Amen. Acts chapter 18. I'm going to read two verses. Probably won't get a chance to cover them both, but we're going to try and do our dead level best. Acts 18, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19. Acts 18 and 19. All right. And is everybody at 18, chapter 18 and verse 18? Say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right, here we go. Let's read those two verses together. It says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." Father, bless now these next moments that we have together, Lord, that we might just gain a blessing from Paul and the life and what he's doing, that we might see what we can do as well, Lord. I pray that your hand will be upon us and that your glory would shine through. Help us now, Lord, to do our dead level best to preach, to reach in each person that we get the opportunity to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, as each service, we're going to try to say this statement here, the preach, reach, and eat. So let's say that together. Here we go. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, each do all you can. All right, and then we're going to try and quote Mark 16:15. How many got it down pat already? Anybody yet? Amen. All right, let's try Mark 16:15. If you need to turn over there, go ahead and turn over there and look at it. Amen. By the end of the month, we should have this verse already down, Mark 16:15. All right. And let's read it together. He says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. And that is our charging verse right there. I get a weekly newsletter from this guy named David Wood. It's David Wood Ministries, and he has one called Let's Go Soul Winning. And I'm going to read some of these periodically to you guys. I was going to read this one tonight, but I'm not going to read it because of the time. But I want to read you one phrase. This poor lady here, she got saved, but she didn't want the preacher to go to witness to her husband. And he said this, basically, in reality, if someone is unsaved, where can we run or turn him off to? If he is lost, he is off as far as he can get. She didn't want him to get any more lost. Can you get any more lost? Is there such a thing as getting any more lost? I mean, really, if you lost, you lost. And so I'm going to read this in its entirety next week because it does have a good ending. But this dear lady, she got saved, and then she basically told the preacher, please don't go by and see my husband. You go by and see him, he's going to get more lost. Amen. So I'll finish reading that to you next week. But keep that in mind as you're going out to talk to people about the gospel message. If they turn you down, they're not turning you down. They're not rejecting you. They're actually rejecting Christ. So keep that in your mind and on your hearts. Well, we find Paul here in, I've touted this tarrying and teaching. Paul seemed to have enjoyed a rest from the attack of the Jews. Remember last week they took him to the court system, and it backfired. Instead of Paul getting beat up, what happened? The chief ruler of the synagogue got beat up and got attacked. And instead of Gallio being concerned, he was not concerned. And did Paul get arrested? No. Did the gospel have to stop going out? No, none of the above. Amen. So Paul having a successful time here and wasn't arrested, the gospel wasn't outlawed, and it seemed that he was able to settle down and get back to teaching according to verse 11. Notice what verse 11 says that he was already doing. It says, "And he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them." And we talked about this. If Paul was teaching them, he had already preached to them, they had gotten saved. And the Matthew chapter number 28 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And what would we do second? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then what does it say after that? teaching them to observe all things. So Paul, after they got saved and baptized, he spent a year and a half there teaching them what they should do. Now, what do you think Paul was teaching them? Who Christ really was? That's a possibility. What else was Paul teaching them? How to reach other people? What else was he teaching them? Serge? Amen. Serge is right on the track. Let's go to 1 Corinthians to see what he was teaching them. Amen. Because he spent a year and a half there teaching them. And so if you go over to the 1 Corinthians will detail a lot of what Paul actually was talking to them about. 1 Corinthians, because after Paul left them, they came back with a whole bunch of questions. Notice what it says here in verse number 10. He says of chapter number 1, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together." So obviously there was some divisions amongst them in that year and a half that Paul was there, and he had to talk to them about that. Go down there in verse number 18. He says, "And for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Obviously, they tried to witness to some people, and others thought it was foolishness. Amen. Specifically, the Greeks. Come over here to chapter number 2. And in verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So obviously, they were very high on people speaking, very eloquent, and being able to speak very diplomatically and very, we would call it, politically correct. Amen. And they were very fond of that. And Paul said, "I didn't come with none of that." What did Paul come preaching? Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. Nothing fancy about that. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of who? Men." Paul said, "I'm not coming to be some fanciful type of person. I don't want you to be infatuated with me." He said, "I want you to be in love with Jesus Christ." Amen. Not my words that can save you in the first place. He says, "but in the power of God." Chapter number 3, verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, you know what? They had some immaturity going on there as a church. And so that's one thing that he had talked to them about. Chapter number 3 and verse number 10. He begins to talk about rewards. Notice what it says in verse number 14. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So he talked about rewards being lost or being gained there in chapter number 3. You come down to chapter number 4. He begins to talk about stewardship. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and as the stewards of the mysteries of God." You come over to chapter number 5. Some deeper things here. He talks about in verse number 1 of chapter 5, "It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you." Man, that was bad. It's in the church. That's bad. And Paul said, man, he had to talk about that and deal with that and write to you about that. Over in chapter number 6, of course, we talked about this last week. They were taking each other to the heathen courts. Amen. And notice that there any of you having a matter, verse 1, against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. So they had to deal with that. So we know that was a concern. Chapter 7, verse number 1. "Now concerning the things which whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife." He had to talk to them about that. So these are things that he talked to them about, obviously, as he was teaching there in chapter number 7 and verse number 10, talking about marriage and divorce. Notice what he says, "And unto the married I command yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband." So marriage was an issue, and remarriage was an issue in chapter number 7. Come over to chapter number 8. Idolatry. Now, as touching verse number 1, things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It talks about idols down there and eating things offered unto idols. Down in chapter number 9, talks about his right to work and his right to be an apostle. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Verse number 1. "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you." He said, look, if anybody else knows I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle to you. By the way, apostle means sent one. Paul said, if I was sent to anybody, I was sent to you. Amen. And you guys got saved. And I was there a year and a half on top of that. So he dealt with that. You come over to chapter number 10. He deals with basically getting involved in things we ought not to get involved with, sin. Amen. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. And he talks about some of the things that they did and how they were judged for what they did, sin. And all throughout chapter 10, he talks about that. In verse 14, he talks about idolatry. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And, I mean, all throughout here, of course, you come down here in chapter 11. He talks about the Lord's table and how they were handling that. Notice what he says in verse number 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Of course, it was the Lord's table that they were talking about there. That was bad. Chapters 12, 13, and 14, which we'll cover here in the very near future, he deals with spiritual gifts and tongues. By the way, I had someone just recently, they said, well, preacher, you mentioned about tongues. What's your position on tongues? And I gave them a biblical stand on tongues. And you know what the person told me? Okay, I won't be back to your church anymore. Well, amen. If you're going to not come because of what the Bible says, then you best not come, amen. Because if you get up and start speaking in tongues in my church, I'm going to have the ushers usher you on out, amen. So the person said, well, I'm not going to come if you take that position. It's not a position that I take. It's a position that the Bible has given, amen. It killed me if people say that. Well, that's the position you take. I'm like, well, yes, that's the Bible position, amen. So 12, 13, and 14 deal with that. And so that's just a synopsis in chapter 15. He talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people said Christ wasn't risen and their faith was overthrown. It was all done and over. That's just a snippet of what he had talked to them about in the year and a half that he was there. Man, that preacher, he talked about a lot. Yes, he did. Amen. But by the way, these were young Christians, and so they were hungry. Going back to Acts chapter 18. So what did Paul teach in that year and a half? All of that stuff that's there, amen? I'm sure he touched upon that, and those were questions. These were new believers. They had never been saved before, and so Paul is dealing with some things here. So verse number 18, let's pick it up there, and let's see tarrying and teaching. Notice what it says in verse number 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. Now, after this, what after this? After Gallio said, I don't want to have anything to do with this, after they took Sothenes and beat him, and the governor was not really impressed about that. The Jews got it backfired on them. And after a while, guess what? I guess they probably said, well, you know what? Paul is protected, I think, pretty good by God. So let's just leave him alone. I mean, even the law is on his side. And don't you know they probably found out he was a Roman on top of that? So what you going to do to him? He's a Roman citizen. There was nothing they could do against Paul. And so Paul just enjoyed this time of just teaching easy, easy peasy, amen. You ever had those times when you taught a class and you had a disruptive child in the class? And then that child wasn't there one day and you had easy peasy. You thought, man, it'd be nice if that child was not here all the time, amen. And it happens at times, amen. That's how Paul, I'm sure, felt with the religious authorities. They were finally out of his hair. They were at bay. God had silenced them. And Paul now tarried there yet a good while, amen. And so there's nothing like sharing the word of God with people that are eager to hear it. And these are hungry new converts there. That's a lesson for us to learn. Whether it's discipleship or teaching a class or just our own family, never get tired of the blessing of teaching the word of God to somebody that wants to hear it. You know, never get tired of that. I remember when I was a young Christian, Pastor White, I was known as Johnny number 5. How many of y'all remember that movie Short Circuit way back in the day? And he kept saying, need input. When I first got saved, I went up to everybody, need input. Why do you have that Bible? Need input. Why do ladies wear dresses in church? Need input. Why don't you wear bonnets on your hair like any other? I was asking every question under the sun. Why? At all the churches that I went to, I saw all this stuff, and nobody had an answer for me. And I said, why do you do that? I don't know. Why do you do that? I don't know. Why do you do that? I don't know. Is that in the Bible? I don't know. Can anybody answer any questions that I have? I was like, need input. So when I finally got saved and got into a good church, Brother Gary, where I could get some input, man, it was like a baby in a candy store. I went to everybody I could go to get an answer. Brother, what about this? Why do you wear a beard? You know, I heard some people say wearing a beard is sin. Amen, sir. Amen. And, I was asking all kind of questions like that. You know, over here, they won't let you wear a beard. Over here, you can't do this. Over here, you know, if you don't have on birth control glasses, you're not spiritual. Y'all know what birth control glasses are? those black rimmed glasses. We look like Clark Kent. Amen. So, you know, if you don't wear a white shirt, you're not spiritual. So who don't have on a white shirt here? Brother, you're not spiritual in some places. Brother, your green shirt, you're not spiritual. And God forbid if you got pink on, you're definitely not even a man. Amen. So, man, when I got saved, man, I exploited the rainbow. I got a red suit I bought into church. Amen. I bought a green suit into church. Amen. I started exploiting. I said, man, I can wear all kind of colors. Amen. I just didn't come in with a lemon yellow color. I didn't think it would go good with my skin color, so I didn't have that one. I had just about every other color, amen. And folks said, why do you buy so many different colors? I said, because I can. That's right. I can, and I can go anywhere, and I'm still saved. That's right. And so tell me I'm not saved just because I wore a lemon yellow suit today, amen. Now, y'all might laugh at me. But guess what? You know, when we get a chance to teach someone the word of God, and they're eager and they're hungry, you should enjoy that. Enjoy it. Amen. You know, unless you can't answer the question, then you say, well, you might want to go talk to somebody else about that. Paul here, I'm sure, is enjoying life. Why? He's got a hungry group of people here right next to the synagogue. They want to know the word of God. He's being left alone by the Jews, and he's getting a chance to teach the word of God. And I'd tarry there a long time, too, wouldn't you, Pastor White? Amen. Somebody wants to learn the word of God. I'd tarry, too. Amen. Tarry until times get tough. And so Paul is there, and we should take every opportunity to share the word of God with someone else who wants to learn the word of God for the glory of God. Amen. By the way, where can we teach people? Anywhere. Just about anywhere. Anywhere. I taught in the day room painting. I taught on the basketball court. I taught on the football field. I went bowling. I taught when I was bowling. I taught in the church. I taught in the teen class. I taught in the men's group. I taught on soul winning. How can we teach? By our life, by our lips, our example. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can teach people at home, at church, at work, at school. By the way, if you've got children at home, you're always training. You're always teaching. And you know what? Never get tired of training. My wife and I, when we get, you know, kind of exasperated about things, I'll say, honey, it's training. Honey, it's training. It's training. She's like, well, when are they going to learn? I said, probably the same time we learn. Ooh, wow, oh, ah, that hurts. Hey, we're just big children of God. We really are. And God is still training us. And so children, you're always training them. You're always teaching them. And Paul here has got a bunch of children, and he's training them by example. He's training them by word. He's training them by the scriptures. He's training them by the Old Testament. I'm sure he pointed to the synagogue all the time. See over there? They can't eat a ham sandwich. Y'all want a ham sandwich for lunch today? Nah, he probably didn't do that. Amen. Probably didn't do that, but they probably came in and said, Paul, why don't they eat ham across the way there? And he probably said, well, you know what? Back in the days, the law said this. Well, Paul, do we have to refrain from ham? No, but I wouldn't do it around a Jew if I were you. They might kill you. Amen. Give a word about God's greatness and God's goodness, and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Notice not only just tearing and teaching, notice the rest of that verse it says down there. And he came to Ephesus, verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there a good while and then took his leave of the brethren. After being there for a time, Paul was finally ready to move on. And I'm sure God gave him the green light that it was time to move on. Now, one of the things that spurred Paul to move on was a feast that was going to happen in Jerusalem. And Paul wanted to get to that feast. And sometimes in your training time, you got to cut that short because of another engagement that you have or another employment that you have. You can't just teach it. Although I was trying to get all my answers and said, I need input. The other person said, I need to go home for dinner. My wife is waiting for me. And I'd say, well, she'd be all right. Dinner is only 3 hours late already. So what's another hour and a half? Amen. And I didn't want to let them go. And they said, but I've got to go home. My children are growing up. They'll be 16 and they used to be six. Can you please let me go home? My wife used to say, honey, you just need to let the pastor go home. I said, hey, we got a pew over here. His kids can sleep on the pew. It's all right. And I was serious as a heart attack. I'm like, I just one more question. But this, you know, this one question has 10 sub-questions to it. And then she said, honey, let the pastor go home. And poor Miss Bennett be over there like. I said, one more question, Miss Bennett, please. Just one more question. She said, Brother Dawson. I said, I'll make it short. What happened? Sometimes they had to go. Paul's got to leave here. He's got to depart here. And he's going to leave leave them and go someplace. It says, and then he took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And remember, we met them before. Notice sailing, after being afforded the time to teach the brethren, Paul began his voyage to Jerusalem. Notice verse 21, it says this. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you. What had happened? Paul had went there and had some eager Jews in the synagogue, believe it or not, warning him to stay. Jews in the synagogue, believe it or not. And he did not stay. Can you imagine that? You get somebody that's eager to hear the word of God, and you say, but I can't stay. I can't stay. Don't you think that broke Paul's heart? But Paul had an engagement, and he had to get that engagement taken care of. Notice as well here, we've already covered this, Priscilla and Aquila went with him. Paul evidently had a vow, and he shaved his head down there in Cenchrea, and Priscilla and Aquila went with them. And obviously, these two were hooked on the ministry, hooked on ministering, and hooked on missions. They were not afraid to get up and go when needed. Now, remember, they had already come back to Corinth by decree. And now Paul is going, and they're going with him. And we had talked about that. It probably was Priscilla's idea for them to go. Would you just up and go if God called you? Now, Serge did. Serge went to Chicago. God called him to Chicago. He went there. Then God called him to Missouri. Or is it Missouri, brother? Missouri? It's both. Called into Missouri. Katie, how'd you feel about that when Serge said we're going to Missouri? Were you like, Priscilla, I'm behind you 100%? Were you like, no?
It took a little while.
It took a little while. Amen. Amen. Hey, this couple said, let's go. It's not always easy to get up and go. Why did Priscilla and Aquila get up and go? Obviously, God directed them to get up and go. And guess what? They went. It's not all, when God told me to start this church, I was on easy street. I was sitting back, lap of luxury, had a pastor, had a youth pastor. I'm like, hey, pretty guy, ain't got to do nothing. I just go soul winning, I'm good to go. Then he said, well, will you teach a junior class? Well, I guess that's the least I can do. Taught my junior class, man, had fun. God said, you like this, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. Why don't you start a church? No, thank you. No, thank you. Once I retire from military, then I'll have plenty of time to do that. Not right now. God said, ha, ha, ha. Now. I thought, now? Now's not the time for this. I'm on easy street. I like this. I like what I'm doing. If I do that, I'm going to be the man with a headache. I don't want to do that. Amen. But guess what? God said, yes. And so we see that they did get up. And, now think about this. At this point, Paul already has Timothy. He already has Silas. What does he need with two more people? Why does he need Priscilla and Aquila? He already got Timothy. He already got Silas. Why does he need two more people, sir? He got a bunch of hard-headed men. Who's going to be there to talk to the ladies, maybe? That's a good point. Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't she also wealthy?
Priscilla? Lydia was. I don't know about Priscilla. She might have been. But I know Lydia was the purple. Lydia had some money. Now, she had some bank. Yeah, she had some bank. Think about it. You've got Timothy, who's a youngster. You got Paul, who's the agent, never been married. And you got Silas, who's doing the cooking? What, the TV dinners?
Yeah.
Who's doing the cleaning? Who's doing the organizing? Who's doing the doctoring? Well, they had Luke. Who's got the feminine touch? Priscilla. So now we don't know why God sent them, but we do know that he did send them. If I didn't have my wife around the house, our house would be one-sided in many, many ways. I mean, the kids probably wouldn't have teeth. They eat sugar all the time because I like candy. And, I had to hide when I eat my candy. So, because if they, can I have some candy? I'd look at their mother first. And she's like, don't even think about it. And I'm like, well, Daddy, how come you get some? I said, because I'm daddy. I'm older. I know how to handle my sugar. Y'all get sugar and y'all drag your mother up a tree, amen. I don't do that. Y'all do. Again, remember, Priscilla's name comes first here, so the emphasis is on her, amen. And think about it this way. Why would you want an extra helper in your class? Shares the burden. Amen. Why would you want an extra helper in your ministry? Shares the burden. Someone like-minded. Someone that you can turn things over to. You know they're going to do a good job. Amen. So you think about the same reason why you would want a helper in your class or an extra minister. I'm sure Paul said, man, we need some femininity around here. We need somebody that can sing. They probably had Paul. He probably couldn't sing. Silas couldn't sing. Timothy probably couldn't sing. And Priscilla probably could carry a pretty good note. Amen. And so he said, look, we need some help here. Amen. I need some help, too. I just looked at my clock, 7:15. So I better stop. Mrs. Dawson's going to be here. Amen. But anyway, pray for our missionaries. They need helpers, too. Paul needs some helpers here, and he's soliciting some help. By the way, there's going to be some helpers going to be needed around here in several different ways and avenues. Amen. Why? We need some helpers like Paul, somebody to come along and assist. And so we need helpers. Amen. It may not be the opportune time, like Katie said. Needs our assistance in an area. Guess what? Let's provide. You're going to find that Paul's going to get them and take them to Ephesus, and he's going to leave them there. And he's going to keep going. It's like, no, wait a minute, Paul. Now, we went with you to be with you. And you took us and left us. What's up with that? To be continued next week. Amen. You ever had that happen? Why didn't they leave you somewhere else to do something else? You're thinking, Pastor Bennett had already had me left at Belgium. He had already ordained that I was going to stay in Belgium. He was going to go to Atlanta. But guess what? He said, Brother Dawson, why did you go? I said, I didn't go. I wanted to stay. And it wasn't me. Honest. I tried to get back. He said, Brother, I had already had preordained you to take this ministry, and I was going to go to Atlanta. I said, aha, now the truth comes out. I wanted to stay with you. I don't want to be left over in Belgium. It's like misery over there without Pastor Bennett. I said, no, it ain't going to happen. I wanted to stay with him, and he already had plans to go to Atlanta. I'm like, no, wait a minute. No wonder God sent me out, because I'd have been crushed if you left me in Belgium and went to Atlanta. Hey, Paul's going to leave them there in Ephesus, and he's going to keep going. You say, are they going to be mad? Da-da-da-da. To be continued as the world turns. Amen. We'll pick it up next week. Amen. But folks, one thing I do want you to get out of this is verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. Paul stayed there to teach them the word of God. If you've got somebody eager to hear the word of God, teach them. Teach them. Just make sure you're teaching doctrinally correct and doctrinally sound so that the word of God can do them a world of good. And they can benefit from that. This church did benefit from Paul's being there. And Aquila and Priscilla did as well. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Pastor White, if you could, give us any closing words and closing the word of prayer. Amen. Don't forget Neighbor Day door knocking on Sunday.